Okay. Morning, boys. Okay. Know anybody that we can pray for?
Wyatt.
Who's that?
Wyatt Thompson.
Wyatt.
Okay. All right. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Just pray that your will be done. God, pray that we hear your voice today. Just lead us and guide us. Pray for Wyatt and whatever his needs are, Lord. And pray for all those who are suffering, Lord, today, throughout the world and in our families, in the church. Lord, pray for all those who are needing your help. And God, just help us to be wise and make good choices. Just help us to hear your voice today, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew 24, verse 32. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. Okay, Jesus has been talking about when he comes back to judge the earth. And so in 32, he says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors." He's talking about when he comes back. He's saying, when you see all these things happen, know that the time is near when I'm coming back. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. He's saying, no man knows when Jesus is coming to judge the earth. No man knows when that's going to happen. He's saying only God knows when that's going to happen. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. He's saying in the day of the Lord, whenever he comes, that no one's going to know. We'll all just be living our lives just like normal. We'll be doing what we do every day. And then all of a sudden, you know, God chooses to come and to judge the earth. He says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is not coming soon,' and he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour which he's not aware of, and the master will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So that sounds pretty severe, you know. Talking about Jesus coming, you know, and you know, either when in our life, either we're going to be alive when Jesus comes back to judge the world, or we're going to die. And then we'll have to go before God, and we will be judged before God then. Either way, either we're going to, you know, be caught when we die, or we're going to be caught when Jesus comes. You know, there's no second chance. There's no redo on our lives. This is it. Death. Death is forever. You know, it's forever. This time in our life right now is a short time compared to eternity. We have this life to live the way, in a way that is pleasing to God and is good and right. We have this short time to do it. And then it's eternity. And so, you know, it's just good to think about. You know, I think about sometimes when if Jesus were to come back today, you know, how do I feel confident, you know, on how I'm living, you know, and honestly, most of the time, I am not 100% confident, you know, that I would just be right there where God wants me to be. And so I think about that, and I usually feel like there's some things that I should change in my life. And some of those things are easy things to change, and some of those things are hard things to change. But I think it's good to think about, you know, I think that, you know, the biggest things that God talks about is love. You know, God's greatest commandment for us is to love God and to love our neighbor. You know, and that the Bible says that God is love. And I think that His love is what we should be aspiring for. Learning how to love other people. Learning how to love our family. Learning how to love our friends. Learning how to love our neighbors. And Jesus even said learning how to love our enemies. And so these are what we need to work on. You know, God gave us the great example of Jesus as the great example of love and of how a man should live his life, or a woman, how they should live their lives in love. You know, Jesus didn't give us an example of how to be a religious robot. You know, He wants us to hear His voice, and He wants us to make decisions on how best to walk in love every day. So with that being said, that's it. I think, you know, I think it's good. I used to think that it's best, or it's best that we know that we're going to go to heaven when we die. But I think it's been good for me, at least, to feel a little unsure of what's going to happen to me when I die, because it kind of pushes me to get my act together a little bit and to do what's right. And that's what it should do. I don't necessarily think we should always be in just a state of worry about whether or not we're going to be accepted by God. But we should always be pushing. We have a target, we have a goal, and that's the life of Jesus. And we can shoot for that, shoot to love God, shoot to love people, and try to live our lives the best we can. And that's it.
Last week's assignment is to get a verse about warning against false prophets and memorize it. Matthew 7, verse 15 says, "Beware of the false prophets. They will come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are like ravenous wolves."
1 John 4:1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Mark 13:21-22 says, "And if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is Christ,' or 'Behold, there he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect."
I got Matthew 7:15. "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves."
I got 2 Peter 2:1-3. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, secretly introducing destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensualities, and because of them, the way of truth will become mangled. In their greed, they will exploit you with many false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep.
Mark 13:22. "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect."
I got Luke 21:8-9. "Take heed," and he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near. Therefore do not go after them. But when you hear wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately."
I got the same as Hans and Roger, kind of. Mark 13:21-23. "And then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is Christ,' 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'Behold, he is there,' do not believe them. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance." That's something to think about this. He has told us everything in advance.
I got the same as Bill. Matthew 7:15. "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves."
All right, 2 Corinthians 11:13-14. "For such men are false prophets, deceitfully working, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light."
I also got Matthew 7:15. "Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." And then the next verse says, "You will know them by their fruits, whether they're good or evil."
Acts 20:29. "I know that after my departure, ravening wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock."
I also had that. Mark 13:22. "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and lead astray, if possible, the elect."
I've got a picture to share in my mind of the prophets in the Old Testament. They were spoken to by God and made prophecies about Christ who was to come. And they were also preaching to the Israelites, trying to bring them back to God. And then Christ came. And it all surrounds Christ coming. Everything from the prophets all the way up to John the Baptist, they were testifying that Christ would come. And then, after Christ had came, and the church put their faith in him, there was people that were trying to alter the truths about Christ, that he came in the flesh, And they were trying to say that he didn't come in the flesh. Anyway, I don't understand it all, but I really think it's amazing that there's just been a narrative throughout history pointing towards Christ, and then Christ came. And the main thing is that there were some people that really loved what he taught, and then there was other people that hated what he taught. And I think that's interesting. And I think it's really interesting that there was people that were trying to like alter just parts of who he was and lie about it. And then it's even more interesting how that now you can't tell whether somebody hates Christ or not, because they come up with, they say they love him and they love who he is, but then they come up with these subtle doctrines that are actually against Christ. And all that being said, it is very precious to me that Christ is who he is, and it's a battle every day to love like he did when he was on this earth.
For the assignment for next week, how about describe the type of man that you believe God wants you to be?